If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
When you choose Organic Valley, not only will you be enjoying great-tasting dairy, you'll help to save over 1,600 small organic family farms who are protecting over 400,000 acres of organic farmland and all the plants and animals that call it home. This is dairy you can feel good about. It's great-tasting, high-quality organic dairy, ethically sourced from small organic family farms. To find Organic Valley Dairy near you, visit ov.coop. That's ov.coop.
Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger yesterday criticized the GOP for the ongoing debate whether to remove Conference Chair Liz Cheney and said the party is, quote, basically the Titanic. I don't know, though. When the Titanic went down, people tried to get off it. Women and children first, and then we party, right, gentlemen?
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth talks to comedy writer and actor Paul Appel from the Peacock show Girls 5 Eva. But first, a closer look.
The Republican Party has decided that its path back to power is complete and total fealty to Donald Trump, and they're purging anyone who refuses to repeat his lies about the 2020 election, no matter how destructive it is for the country. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. It is exceedingly rare in the history of this country for a political party to stay so closely tied to an ex-president, let alone one who is as deeply unpopular as Donald Trump. What we're seeing right now in the Republican Party is not usually how the process unfolds after a party loses power, especially in a landslide amid a once-in-a-century cataclysm. And let's remember, the GOP didn't just lose. They got wiped out. They lost the presidency in both houses of Congress. Trump never once cracked 50% job approval and never won the popular vote. Meanwhile, President Biden is riding high with a 63% approval ratings in a new poll out today. The GOP is treating Trump like a good luck charm even after he brought them terrible luck. If the first time Dumbo tried to fly, he plummeted to the ground and broke all four legs and both ears, he would have let go of the feather. And yet the GOP is still fully enthralled to Trump, who oversaw the worst economic crash and unemployment crisis in a century, rising poverty and child hunger, and a disastrous pandemic response that left hundreds of thousands of Americans dead. Not to mention that violent insurrection where he incited an imam of rioters to ransack the Capitol and disrupt the lawful counting of electoral votes. You remember that? Somehow it feels like it was approximately 800 years ago, when in reality it happened in January. Now Trump's shuffling around his golf course like it never happened, popping up in photos like a retired Bigfoot and interrupting weddings and other private events to drone on about his deranged belief that he actually won the election.
The former president himself is still waxing poetic about finding irregularities right around the corner, apparently living in an alternate reality down at Mar-a-Lago.
Watch Arizona. Some very interesting things are happening in Arizona, right? You know about that. And we just had a great ruling, or the Senate, the state Senate of Arizona. Let's see what they find. I wouldn't be surprised if they found thousands and thousands and thousands of votes. So we're going to watch that very closely. And after that, you'll watch Pennsylvania and you'll watch Georgia and you're going to watch Michigan and Wisconsin.
We did get 75 million votes. Nobody's ever gotten that. They said, get 66 million votes, sir, and the election's over. Well, I got 75 million. And they said, but you know, you saw what happened. 10:30 in the evening, all of a sudden they said, it's a strange thing. Why are they closing up certain places, right? You know, a lot of things happening right now. I just want to say it's an honor to be here. It's an honor to have you at Mar-a-Lago. You are a great and beautiful couple.
In fairness to Trump, it's very hard to do stand-up comedy when you're opening for a band. I mean, he's just going from room to room at Mar-a-Lago, interrupting the most sacred moments in people's lives to whine about his election loss like Bill Murray with a head injury. You're going to find thousands of votes in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Arizona. A lot of things are happening with the mail ballots and the signature match. I said, you got to check the signatures. And they say, sir, we can't, sir. And I say, that's a strange thing, isn't it? Anyway, enjoy the bris. Let me know if you need a moil. I got a guy. So good. So good. He also cuts Rudy's hair. Although, I'm guessing if you hold a wedding reception at Mar-a-Lago at this point, you're counting on Trump popping in. It's like having a birthday party at Chuck E. Cheese. The rat better be there or there's going to be hell to pay. What do you mean it's Chuck's days off? Well, technically he's in the shop because he had a mechanical error that made it look like he was giving kids a middle finger, but we like to tell him he has the day off. What am I supposed to tell my son whose birthday it is and who was dying to meet Chuck E. Cheese? You could tell him Jasper T. Giles is still here. Nobody likes Jasper T. Giles. Also, sometimes Donald Trump rolls through and complains about Brad Raffensperger. And by the way, that insane Arizona audit he referenced is the same one you may have heard where Republicans are reportedly searching for bamboo on ballots to find out if they were smuggled in from Asia.
The other day at the press conference, you were talking about bamboo. What was that about?
Well, is that there's accusations that 40,000 ballots were flown in.
To Arizona?
Into Arizona, and it was stuffed into the box, okay? And it came from the southeast part of the world, Asia, okay? And what they're doing is to find out if there's bamboo in the paper. That camera right there, that they take a picture of the ballot, they can really look at depth and find out, is it a hand-marked paper ballot? Because it's a 5K camera.
And why do you check for
because
bamboo?
Because they use bamboo in their paper processing.
Who's they?
People in Southeast Asia.
They're using a 5K camera to find out if there's bamboo in the paper to see if the ballots came from Southeast Asia. Imagine going to Best Buy to get the camera and explaining that's what it's for. Are you looking for something for family photos or something more professional? Well, I'm looking for something that can detect strands of bamboo on ballots. Why are you calling store security? Is that bamboo on your shirt? Guys, they're on to me. Oh, damn it. Do you also have those, like, secret wrist microphones? Also, what a waste of a 5K camera. This is an actual television show, and I'm pretty sure we have, at best, 1.5Ks. I don't even know what the K in 5K stands for. I try to find out, but whenever I ask, my crew tells me it stands for it's none of your business. K? When I was in my attic during quarantine, I had to film myself on my own iPad because NBC refused to send actual TV cameras to my house. They said a 5K camera would be wasted on bits about the Thornbirds, a magic door, and the wasps I befriended, and they definitely did not like the sea captain. The programming execs sat me down and said to me, and this is true, why won't the sea captain work for a dolphin? And I said, why? And they said, because he serves no porpoise. Who let the sea captain write a joke? For real. In May? By the way, just to clarify, the guy who explained that whole insane bamboo ballot theory doesn't believe it, as he explained later in the interview.
So that you feel like...
That's what they say.
40,000 ballots have been...
Yeah, I don't believe any of that. Okay. I'm just saying that is part of the mystery that we want to... ungaslight people about, and this is a way to do it.
This is part of what you're looking at.
I'm not. They are.
Poor guy. These people are so crazy that if you explain what they believe, people think you're crazy. They're crazy as airborne. For some reason, it fell to him to explain to the press what these people are looking for. It's like coming home from work and trying to calmly explain to your wife that you're late for dinner because a guy in the F train pulled the emergency brake because he thought a cockroach stole his cigarette. So he claimed, and again, these are his words, a cockroach came up to him and asked him for directions to the nearest OTB, and while he was looking, again, his words, the cockroach reached into his pocket and stole his Marlboro Light. I don't know. That's what he said.
Sorry. It's a true story. I just needed a smoke. I'm a little stressed out. The Mets can't hit with runners in scoring position. This cigarette tastes weird. Is this bamboo? Does anyone on the train have a 5K camera?
Anyway, the point is, this is what the Republican Party has committed itself to. Most political parties would move on and engage in some level of introspection and self-assessment after being repeatedly rejected by a majority of voters and losing power entirely. They'd also move on from a president who was both deeply unpopular and left the nation in ruins. Instead, Republicans are intensifying their devotion to Trump. They're in the process right now of pushing Wyoming Congressman Liz Cheney out of a leadership role simply because she affirmed the basic reality: Trump lost the election, and called the idea that it was stolen from him a toxic lie that undermines democracy. And again, as I've said many times now, I do not want to side with Liz Cheney. She's not a hero. She's a pro-war torture apologist who stood by Trump in 2016 and during his first impeachment trial and helped build the modern GOP into what it is today. She's as much to blame for the rise of Trumpism as anyone else in Republican leadership. I don't want to support her any more than I want to hang out with Jasper T. Jowls. It's just that now she's being purged for simply stating the reality that Trump lost and there was no widespread fraud. And now Republicans want to replace her with New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, a Trump loyalist who has repeated his debunked election lies and said last week on Steve Bannon's podcast that she supports the nutty Arizona election audit.
What are your thoughts about what's going on in Arizona?
I fully support the audit in Arizona. We want transparency and answers for the American people. What are the Democrats so afraid of? The voters in Arizona and the state Senate in Arizona pursued this audit. I fully support it. Transparency is a good thing. We need to fix these election security issues going into the future.
What election security issues? Strands of bamboo on ballots smuggled in from Asia? What's next? We're also using a 5K camera to look for microscopic marinara stains to make sure no ballots were secretly smuggled in from Italy. I personally witnessed an Antifa fraudster sneak into the counting room with a calzone stuffed with pepperoni and fraudulent ballots. This is all that matters in today's GOP, your willingness to repeat Trump's deranged lies about the election and codify them into law through voter suppression bills that will let Republicans steal the next election. That's why Florida Governor Ron DeSantis was on Fox News last week, signing a voter suppression bill surrounded by fawning Trump fans. Over the weekend, GOP Congressman Jim Banks said he supported Cheney's ouster and essentially accused her of abandoning Republicans by acknowledging reality.
Do you still question whether or not Joe Biden won the election fair and square and got over 270 electoral votes, fair and square?
Yeah, Chris, I stand by my vote to object on January 6th. I stand by the Texas lawsuit because I have serious concerns about how the election in November was carried out.
When Liz Cheney says history is watching and you can't go forward until you resolve this question, the election was fair and square, Donald Trump played a negative role, you think she's misguided making those points?
Yeah, I've called on Liz Cheney to rejoin the Republican team and help us go out and win the majority in the midterm election.
I've called Liz Cheney to rejoin the Republican team to acknowledge that there are serious concerns about the election and to admit that we are, in fact, living in the Matrix. That's why I'm supporting, as her replacement, Morpheus, who has made some very persuasive points about voter fraud, and he knows Kung Fu. Learned it in a day. But listen to what he said. That's actually a fairly shocking admission. He essentially said Cheney is abandoning Republicans by acknowledging reality, meaning that they're two separate things. Republicans don't live in reality. In fact, in order to be a member of this Republican Party, you have to abandon reality. It's like insisting to your children that the guy in the Mickey Mouse costume is the actual Mickey Mouse, even though your kids are now 35 years old. You can either rejoin this family on our annual trip to Typhoon Lagoon and acknowledge that Mickey Mouse is a real person, or you can get the hell out of here. And are you smoking another one of those bamboo cigarettes? Did you steal that from a cockroach? Guilty. Is that as popular a recurring character that we think it is? Cigarette smoking cockroach? We'll find out in the old comments. And even, by the way, we did a full clip about Donald Trump crashing weddings. No Vince Vaughn. That's restraint. And even Republicans who are no longer in office, like Chris Christie, are blaming Cheney for her choice to simply live in reality, rather than Republicans for lying about the election and dismantling democracy.
I think Liz is doing what she wants to do. I don't think Liz wants to be in leadership anymore, because once she won the vote earlier, she continued to press this issue publicly in a way that was antagonizing the people who were against her. And I think you don't have an entitlement to be in leadership.
Think about how sad it is to still be loyal to a guy like Trump after everything he put Chris Christie through. Among all the other humiliations Christie suffered, Trump once forced him to eat meatloaf at the White House, a place where they famously will literally make anything for you. Mr. Christie, before you order, we have the most exquisite culinary creations you can imagine from a chef who lives here on the premises. He'll have the meatloaf. Bring him a side of ketchup. And Christie is still sticking by Trump. Maybe that's what you have to do. keep your job in this Republican Party, in order to demonstrate your fealty to Trump, you have to lie about the election and eat a giant plate of meatloaf on TV while he insults your wife and your dad, and then, for good measure, kicks you in the balls. Don't worry, boss. I'm wearing a cup. It's great because it doubles the mask. Any sane political party would move on from a president who was both deeply unpopular, lost by a wide margin, and on top of everything else, left nothing but misery and destruction in his wake. And yet Republicans are not moving on. They're doubling down. They're as committed to Trump as ever. And now they don't care much about how they have to lie or debase themselves to prove their loyalty to him. Republicans are looking at Trump's election lies and their own voter suppression bills and saying,
"You are a great and beautiful couple."
This has been A Closer Look.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Our guest is an Emmy Award-winning writer and actress who you know from her work on Saturday Night Live, AP Bio, and the film Wine Country. She stars in the new series Girls 5 Eva, with all episodes streaming now on Peacock. Please welcome back to the show one of my favorite people in the world, Paula Pell, everybody!
Walking very carefully in my shoes.
Your beautiful shoes.
Thank
you. Look
them.
Gorgeous.
A little high.
You know, I was saying it might be a little weird for you to be back in the building where you worked at SNL in a room without an audience, but you and I both wrote sketches that felt as though they played in a room without an audience.
Yes, I oftentimes laughed very hard before I left to go sleep an hour before the read-through. I would write something I thought was hilarious, and then I would go into your producer, Mike Shoemaker's office, and he would call me yesterday's sweater because I smelled like BO times 50,000. And I would come in so jacked. We didn't go do cocaine during my era. And I would be so jacked and just be like, we wrote this thing. And I'd be laughing so hard and then just smash cut to the table read a couple hours later. And I've showered and I've got new makeup on and I'm just staring off when no one is laughing at any of it. But I girled up for you tonight, Seth.
Oh, very nice.
I girled up. I know that, you know, there's certain, you dress a different way when you go to Easter Mass than when you go fishing.
Yeah.
So I wanted to girl up tonight because I know that you like the girls here to show their shape.
We do. We try not to be explicit in this era, but we do like it to get out to our guests.
If you have a shape, you need to show it.
We need to see the shape.
Yes. I don't, this is sheer and I don't know what I'm showing, so. You're welcome,
America. Congratulations on the show. This is about a girl band from sort of the late 90s, early aughts that reunites, and it is allowing you to go back to your singing and dancing roots.
Oh, my God. I mean, I'm such a musical theater nerd from the time I was very young. So just to, there's times where I'll just be with my coworkers of these three other phenoms, and I'll just be looking at them and be like, this is a really huge honor to be able to harmonize and harmonize with my alto line under your beautiful, beautiful, because I always sing alto, so it's always funny when I learn my part because the other parts are very flowery, and then they're like, okay, and Paula, you're going to go, and I go there, and there, and then you just stay on there all the way till the end of the song.
Were you a typecast in your early days of theater?
Yeah, I was always the old lady. I was always an old, either a whore, as my grandfather would call it, or I was usually an old matron that was like, where are my jewels?
This is a...
you might think, I don't know, maybe she's in her 40s. That was 14. I was 14. That was anything goes, and I literally come through, and I think I say that somebody stole my jewels.
And then what do you got there?
And that is in college, maybe 2 years later, and that is Nurse Sandwich from The Elephant Man.
Oh,
and
wow.
I remember my big line was, Sandwich, yes! He would say, are you nurse? And I went, Sandwich, yes!
Did you have other lines?
I was ordering, huh?
Did you have other lines?
I don't think I did. I had other lines, because it was the 80s, but...
Now, do you think, I have some other photos from your youth. Do you think you were someone that, you know, because a lot of times scouts would look for talent for these girl bands, boy bands. Do you think if they had
seen... I mean, I think, you know, we all were cute when we were young. And so I think when I look back on it, I could have been plucked from...
Okay, somebody sees you in a shopping mall.
That's one shot. That is when I had brown... I had plastic braces, which my orthopedist. I had an orthopedist.
Oh, well, that explains why you got the wrong kind of braces.
His fingers smelled horrible. My orthodontist put those braces on, and I thought I was getting, you know, girls would be excited. Guys and girls would get excited about getting those metal braces because it was cool in some way. It was horrible, but cool. And I thought it was, they never told me. And then I got them, and he just glued these plastic braces on me that were clear, which immediately absorbed the brown dye from Coca-Cola and beef. And so within about a month, I had brown blocks of plastic on my teeth. And that really upped my game.
You actually just mentioned you didn't know how sheer your outfit was tonight. This has been a historical problem for you.
Yeah, this is a picture from high school when I was president of a club called the Keyettes and everyone else in Florida, and everyone else was very skinny and cute and beachy cute, just cute girls in my club, and I was like the solid leader of it. And I went to the big goodbye party at the end of the year, and I wore this dress. And if I could tell you the amount of confidence I had that night, and of course the eyes are closed right as the picture flashes, but I have not only my bra showing, I have a couple buttons unbuttoned, and my little my underboob roll of flesh over that belt. And by the way, for big ladies out there, you'll appreciate this. Every time you buy a dress that has a belt that comes with it, the belt is like four sizes too small. So you buy the dress and you're like, oh, this is cute, and it has a belt even, and then you put on the belt and it comes to here. So, you know, work on that fashion. This is really creeping up. I'm going to show something soon.
We're going to let them work on that, and we're also going to be right back with more from Paula Pell. Welcome back to Late Night. We are here with Paula Pell. Before, I have a few more questions about your work in the boy band, girl band genre. Mm-hmm. But when you first came to New York, where did you come straight from? Were you working in Florida at the time?
I came from Universal Studios. I had worked at Disney performing, and then I was performing at Universal Studios at the Murder, She Wrote post-production show.
Wow.
And I played an editor or an ADR person, and different people that put together the episode of Murder, She Wrote. And so I did that and got a call to come to interview at SNL from the green room of Universal Studios theme park.
I'm always fascinated with people's first New York City apartments. What did you find for yourself
kind of took the first one I saw because I thought it was cute, but the guy who was my real estate guy was sweating. It was winter, I think, and late fall, and he was sweating, and he was super intense, and he kept using the word sick as positive, which I did not know. I was not savvy to the word sick. So he would just show me things and go, the kitchen at this place is sick. And I thought it was bad. And I was like, why is he so excited about showing me this terrible kitchen? And then he described this apartment, which, you know, it was soon after I realized that all of real estate in New York descriptions are bullcrap. And so he would say, you know, it has a pre-war kitchen, vintage pre-war kitchen with copper detailing. And I would picture this, like, you know, weird tiling that was all from the 1800s of copper. And it was like a 90s gay man's kitchen that was teal. And it had copper, like, smears of paint that looked like a total 80s video. And then it would say, like, garden window. And you would look out and there was, like, you know, half a diaper and a pigeon and then, like, one plant that was half dead. So that was my first place I lived, and it was next to H&H Bagels, which really was, I was like Pepe Le Pew going out every day to the smell of hot bread, and I still am.
you wrote a sketch called 7 Degrees Celsius. Mm-hmm. This is a boy band. This is Casper, that's James Vanderbeek.
That was right? The Beak.
And you also got to write for NSYNC.
Yeah, you know, I did that as a recurring characters, those four, you know, Pernell, Jimmy Fallon, Horatio, and Kattan. they were, I made a fake boy band. They had really weird facial hair. And Will was their manager and could only be 300 feet from due to a court case. And had, you know, tinted glasses, the whole shebang. And I would write the songs and everything. And then NSYNC was the music guest. And I think someone suggested, or I suggested, like, they can be the guest boy band, fake boy band on there. So I wrote the song called Hold the Pickle, where they were fast food guys and they had McDonald's outfits on. And they were saying, like, hold the pickle and do it up big. And it was all about, you know, being in love and holding the pickle and all this. And it was very sexual. And they couldn't come and rehearse it until the very last minute. And these guys took a while to learn things.
Wait, this crew? You're telling me they weren't great with choreography?
It was a little rough. It was like teaching goats how to sing and dance at that point. Jimmy and Parnell were all trying very hard. But sometimes they'd kind of be scattered off and I'd have to keep getting them back. But NSYNC comes in, and I hand them the you know, I say Xeroxed because I'm 96 years old, and I handed them the copies of the thing, and they immediately, like, whisper to each other in a huddle, and then they get out and do full four-part harmony, just kicks, flips, like, full dance number to it. Yeah, let's just do this. And they do the whole thing, and I was just in complete awe. But that was really my exposure to the sort of boy group, girl group stuff a lot was when I was sort of parodying them. I have such a vivid memory of coming home on Sunday, you know, and Sundays after SNL, it's like you're really unpacking your feelings of failure or success and your two martinis at the after party. And I would just never leave the apartment with the sick kitchen. I would never leave. I would just order. I'd wake up at 2, order carry out, and just stay in that cocoon all day. And I turned on TRL at the time that was still on, and there were all these screaming girls because there was NSYNC. And I looked down. They showed down out the window, and it was all these girls. And it was hours after the show ended at SNL, and they had a giant banner that said, Hold the Pickle. So that means all those little girls sat and painted poster paint in the middle of the night and made their mom go get poster paint at Duane Reade. And they made this, and it was one of those first times at that show that I realized how immediate everything was, where it was like, oh, I, you know, this is really, truly live.
Well, Paula, thank you.
I realized I had no real big bang finisher for that, so I just thought I would connect with you as an audience and just be human. I'd be human and connect with you.
Girls 5 Emma is streaming now on Peacock.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night Podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by the effortlessly scrumptious bite of Skinny Pop Popcorn. Imagine this: perfectly popped, endlessly delicious kernels, a symphony of just 3 simple ingredients, popcorn, sunflower oil, and a sprinkle of salt. No compromise, just pure snacking freedom. And hey, if you're up for a twist, dive into flavors like zesty white cheddar to sweet and salty kettle. Every bite's a delight, light and oh so tasty. Shop Skinny Pop now.